It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8. We're going to begin reading with the first verse today, Romans chapter 8, verse 1. And so while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen. And I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to contact us by phone, it's 217-847-2717. That's 217-847-2717. If you'd like to write to us, it's Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to visit our websites, parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. We've just made some changes. I hope that you like them. And so please that you enjoy the study that we have. We have many, many scripture verses listed and many studies, books that you can look at, Genesis, Exodus, and on. And so please that you will take a look at it, and I hope that you enjoy it. If you would like to email us, why our address would be parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. So please that you would look at those sites and send us an email, write to us, call us, whatever you'd like, but we'd love to hear from you. Now, that was enough time for you to open your Bibles, and we'll begin with the study here. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. I hope that that was enough time now for you to enjoy the reading and follow along, and let's go to the Lord now in prayer that we can begin this wonderful study together. Father, we thank and praise you today that we can come and enjoy your presence and for us to understand what victories were won when you died on the cross. Our sins were forgiven, and we were given a power to have victory over sin, which we had never had before. And so, Father, just please guide and lead us today as we study this precious scripture. Every believer has the Holy Spirit within their heart. They have the great teacher to teach each one of us your perfect way. And so please guide and lead us today and help me, Father, to proclaim it clearly and simply that all will understand. Those who do not know you as their Savior, that they would come today and be saved. They'll come to the cross of Calvary and invite you into their hearts. And Father, those that are not saved or that are saved, please help us to grow each and every day. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at these verses of Scripture, we see there is therefore now no condemnation. And that word now is wonderful, because the reason that word now can be there is because we are in Christ Jesus. We are now delivered from condemnation. The believer is absolutely and forever free from all condemnation. That is the great victory that we have when we trust by faith in Jesus Christ and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the result of believing the gospel, placing our trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to earth, he took on a body, he lived here, God, man, lived here 33 years, died on that cross, and gave us victory. And he didn't stay in that grave. He came out of that grave 3 days later alive, and he is alive at the right hand of the Father right now. We need to praise our God and thank our God for the victory that was won at the cross of Calvary. And again, now, because we are in Christ Jesus. And so if you've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are in him. This faith has given unto every believer a righteousness. And it is the righteousness of God. It's not our self-righteousness. It's not something we've developed on our own. We receive the righteousness of God. And nothing can destroy this righteousness. It is there for each one of us to own and possess because the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and died for us. We have that victory. God's own righteousness is imputed unto the believer at the beginning of our Christian life. In other words, the day we get saved, the day we are born again, we are given that righteousness. What a joy and what a privilege it is to possess the righteousness of Christ. This does happen the very second that the believer calls upon the name of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Please come into my heart and save me. It's not the specific words that you use. It's the heart. The heart. You recognize you're lost. You recognize you're dying in your sin. You need a Savior, and that Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it tells us here in this scripture verse, as we look at the first verse, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so this is not a condition for being saved. It is a fact concerning the one who has been born again. And so understand that. It's not something that we need to walk and try, and as so many, they have put works into God's grace, saying that we need to work our way to heaven, or we need to work to keep our salvation, and that is a lie. That is not true. And so please call upon the Lord Jesus for salvation. Trust in Him today. And now we get on to the second verse. That first verse was kind of a review. We'd been through that last time we were together, but I thought it was worthy of going through it again before we start here. And it says, for the law, this is verse 2, Romans chapter 8, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. This powerful, this joy that we have, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of death. This law of the Spirit of life is more powerful than the law of sin and death. The believer is delivered and made free from these two laws, the law of sin and the law of death. Now, if we go back to the 7th chapter and read verse 21, I find, this is the 7th chapter of Romans, verse 21, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. We have the power to have victory over the law of sin and the law of death for the first time. If you are not born again, you don't possess that power. You don't possess that strength, because you do not have the law of the Spirit of life that is given to you when we are in Christ Jesus. The first verse says, which are in Christ Jesus. In verse 2, once again, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. Free from the law of sin, free from the law of death. In the 8th chapter, we find the believer that is discovering the deliverance that we possess through the Holy Spirit that abides within, that is within our bodies. We have trusted in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit comes to live within us. The indwelling daily. We need to spend time, moment by moment, with the Lord Jesus. And let's look at 1 John, and I think that'll help you maybe understand. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Here the pages as I'm turning them as we prepared for the study. Once again, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Spirit, is much greater, much more powerful than the spirit of the devil that's without. And it's a joy to know, because the day you get saved, that devil can never come and control you unless you let him. But for the first time, you have the power inside this to discover the deliverance through the Holy Spirit that abides within. And for us to enjoy the Word of God daily, and we spend each time and each minute, each second, in fellowship with the Lord. And that doesn't mean that we don't get our work done, because we do. We do our work. I work every day. I work hard every day, and we should do that. But for us to have victory, we need to realize that we have been delivered. And what an opportunity that is that we have. The Spirit of life delivers us from the law of death. And if we look back now at chapter 7, we're going to make references back and forth here quite often. And that's verse 7 through verse 10, verse 11. And that's in chapter 7. What shall I say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I have not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law of sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandments came, sin revived and I died. See, the purpose of the law, the purpose of that is that when the Spirit of God shows us, the Spirit at this time is on the outside, but it shows us, He shows us that we're a sinner. And what the Spirit of God could do that Paul could not understand prior to that, prior to the Spirit of God speaking to his heart and showing him who he was, he thought he was good enough. He was keeping the Jewish law, the law of Moses. He thought he was keeping it to a level that was his salvation. He was pleasing God. But when the Spirit of God really came to him and showed him who he was, he realized that he was dead. I was alive without the law. But when God, through his Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, showed Paul who he really was, then he realized that he was a sinner, and he died. Now, he didn't die physically at this time, but he understood that he was totally separated from God no matter what he would do. Now, in verse 10, and the commandment which was ordained to life I found unto death, because, you see, the law is perfect, but no one can keep it, so it means death. It doesn't mean life. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. And so the very law that he thought he was keeping before this time, now he realizes is something that is death. It's death, because the Spirit of God was shown to him. He was made aware of that. Even though the law of Moses was in itself spiritual, holy, and righteous, it's pure, it was good, it became to Saul of Tarsus, and that's what Paul's name was before he got saved, a law of death. And to Israel, it is a yoke which they were not able to bear. They could not handle what was to come. We need a Savior. It's just that simple. Now, if we go to Acts chapter 15, and we go to the 10th verse, Acts chapter 15, verse 10. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? What is taking place is the Jews were trying to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, they were sending out people, and they were sending them saying that you need to, yes, call upon the Lord Jesus for salvation, but you also need to be baptized. You need to be circumcised. You need to bring the meat offerings and the meal offerings and the sin offerings. You still need to bring those. And what that's saying is Jesus was not enough. And we know that he was. It was a complete offering when Jesus died on the cross. Everything was satisfied. The law was satisfied. Everything was made right when Jesus died on the cross. Now, when we as believers yield to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, we are delivered from the law of death. The scripture continues here in this 8th chapter of Romans, and again I'm going to read verse 2 and then on to verse 3. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemns sin in the flesh. For what the law could not do, the law of Moses was unable to produce a man to be obedient, to satisfy the holy law, the law's demands. It just couldn't do it. It could not produce. The law, you could read it, you could study it, but the reason that it couldn't produce a righteous man is because the man was in the flesh, the one that was trying to keep it. The law's perfect, but man isn't. And it applied to the flesh, and the flesh was, it just, sin, condemned sin in the flesh is what the Lord Jesus did when he died on the cross. He took care of our sin. But you see, that law, the law of Moses, is unable to produce a man that is obedient to this holy law and what it demands. It just couldn't do it. It couldn't do it. The law demands what it could not produce. Do you understand that? The law demanded perfection, and the flesh couldn't produce it. The flesh could not deliver that. Let's go back to Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. If the law came, and when the Spirit of God deals with your heart and shows you this law, you realize that I can't keep it. I can't do that. And that's when you need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in him. The law could never produce justification. Yet the law demands perfect obedience, perfect purity, perfect righteousness. That's what it demanded. We can't do it. The law was weak through the flesh. And that's what it says here in this third verse of Romans chapter 8, verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. We need to understand that we have a corrupt nature, the flesh. We need to understand that. The law itself was not weak, but it was powerless on account because of the flesh. Because of the flesh, the law could not be satisfied. Flesh tried to keep the law, couldn't keep the law. The law was perfect, flesh is corrupt. So you see, we got a problem. That's the reason you need to come by faith to Jesus. He is the only way. Come by faith to Jesus. The law was weak through the faith, through the flesh. The law was weak through the flesh. The law itself was not weak, but it is powerless because of the flesh, on account of the flesh. The law is holy. The law is just. The law is good. How could sinful flesh obey this holy, sinless law? We can't. So what the law of Moses could not do, our God did. God Almighty did that through His Son, the Lord Jesus. He sent His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And that's what it's talking about here. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus made in the likeness of sinful flesh. Jesus took our nature as it is in us. He took the infirmities. He lived with the same flesh that we live with, only the difference is that He had no sin. He had no sin. Now, He wearied, he would be tired like we're tired. He was hungry like we're hungry. He thirsted like we thirst. He hurt like we hurt. But it was without sin. There was nothing to distinguish Him as a man from a sinful man, except He was without sin. And that's almost impossible for us to understand that. But that's what the Scripture tells us, and that's the reason that I have joy in Jesus Christ, because He died on the cross for me. And when I trusted in Him as my Savior, my sins were forgiven. Now, if you said, "Boy, I don't understand this," just call on Jesus. Ask Him to save you. There is no other way. You know, there's folks that will tell you there's a lot of different ways. Now, I'm not telling you that this church is the only way. I'm telling you that Jesus Christ is the only way. That's what I'm telling you. He's the only way. There is no other way. There's a lot of religions out there. But there's only one way, and that's to come by faith to Jesus Christ. And please, trust in Him today. As we look at that book of Hebrews chapter 4, I want you to see in this 15th verse, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." And that's what we're taught. And for sin, literally, as we look back to Romans chapter 8, verse 3, Romans chapter 8, verse 3, "For what the law could not do, in that what it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, He was perfect." Back here in Hebrews 4:15 again, "For when we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities," as I said, He hungered, He thirsted, He hurt, "but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Without sin. This "and for sin," as we look in that third verse, literally is on the business of sin, or about sin. That's what it's talking about. Condemned sin in the flesh, as the Scripture says here. That is, caused it to lose its power over man. Victory. Wonderful. Isn't that tremendous? It caused it to lose its power when Jesus died on the cross, completed everything. He completed the law because He was perfect. He lived here on this earth. He had the infirmities that we had. He just did not have sin, as Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says. Christ's mission to atone for sin, but also in the virtue of that atonement, to destroy its dominion and power over the believer. So you see, he not only gave us victory and took our sin away, but because we still live in the flesh, he gave us the opportunity and the power to destroy. He took that dominion, that control away. By the cross of Jesus, sin is condemned. For sending, when he sent Jesus, he sent him, God the Father sent the Son, and he sent him as a sin offering. As a sin offering. And we've got Isaiah 53:6 we're going to look at here. Isaiah 53:6. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. Isaiah 53:6, for all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And what a scripture verse. By the cross of Jesus, sin is condemned. Jesus was sent as a sin offering. And I'm going to read that once again in Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquities of us all. The Lord Jesus Christ took all of our sin to the cross. Now let's go back to Romans, and we're going to go to chapter 3, verse 23. This is maybe a very familiar one to you. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, Jesus had to not only take our sin away, but he gave us victory. Sin is condemned, it's taken care of, because he was our perfect sin offering. Now verse 4, back to Romans 8:4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The righteousness of the law, the righteousness demands, or the precepts of the law, the meaning here is the obedience which the law calls for can be fulfilled in us when we are in Christ Jesus. That's what it's talking about. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Here is in verse 1, and in verse 1 is, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The believer is defined as one who walks, not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Who walk not is a result of being born again. We have that opportunity. It's not a condition to being born again. It is what we possess. We have the power. We have the strength to walk as our Lord Jesus wants us to walk. To walk according to the flesh is to seek to establish one's own righteousness. But keeping the law, by keeping the law, or by doing the works of the law, that's what we try to do. That's walking according to the flesh. Paul tried that. Paul thought he was doing very well. But when it all was said and done, the Spirit of God showed him that he was not doing so well, that he was dead in his trespasses and sins. This is the natural thing that the flesh wants to do. It wants to have us try to work our way through it. And so many churches and so many religions have added the works to their gospel, and that takes away the power, and it's a lie. And please trust in Jesus. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?